Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Dr. Karen Can Radio Show. The intention of this show is to empower and inspire you to manifest the life of your dreams, whether it's radiant health, prosperity, loving relationships, or simply peace of mind. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm your host, Dr. Karen Can, author of the number one bestseller, Guide to Healing Chronic Pain, A Holistic Approach. And if you don't have a copy of my book, you can get an excerpt absolutely free on my website, www.karencan.com. Put your name and email address in, get on my mailing list, and then I'll email you the link where you can download a copy of the excerpt, as well as access to 5 of my Fast Track Your Healing online classes absolutely free. So connect with me on my website. So today I have with me Donna Mastriani from the Intolerance Testing Group. She's actually a senior administrator there. And the reason I have Donna on today, which I'm very excited, is because not that long ago when I was struggling with my weight, with bloating, with gut issues, I was doing everything I could to make it better. And a lot of my patients had the same thing. So, you know, I was healing my own leaky gut issues. I was eating all the right foods and everything organic, avoiding GMOs, really cutting down or eliminating actually a lot of the carbohydrates that were causing me some issues, such as gluten and corn and things like that, even though they were organic. I cut those out, and definitely I was getting better for sure, but I was still having some issues with some, you know, niggly joint issues, weight issues. And I thought to myself, you know, I'm thinking this might be a food issue, a food intolerance issue. So in the office, we started doing some blood testing for that. And it would cost, you know, several hundred thousands of dollars for some people to get all that done. And unfortunately, because the New York State laws, which are very antiquated, we weren't able to do the blood testing anymore. And so that kind of stopped us in our tracks. And I had actually gotten mine done because I never got around to it, and I was really bummed about that. But then I was searching online and found the Intolerance Group, and I was so excited because they do intolerance testing through hair analysis, which, first of all, you don't have to take blood, so it's non-invasive. Second of all, it's easy because you just send them, four or five hairs for them to analyze. And the thing, too, is it doesn't matter whether New York State approves or not because they're in the UK. So, you know, we can actually mail our hair sample there. And I found that they do 600, foods and substances that they can test intolerance to and actually add in a nutrient deficiency test, which was very, very cool. And when I got mine done, certain things I was suspecting was causing problems was definitely confirmed. I had not been on gluten for a while, so that didn't show up. But coconut, I was doing tons of coconut and was thinking, why am I having so many, you know, weight issues? It's supposed to be amazing for your weight. And I was eating a lot of clove, and I was eating a lot of eggs every single day, and I ended up being intolerant to eggs. So that was really useful information. And how wonderful that it's such an inexpensive way, probably 10 times less than what we were paying for the blood testing. So I have Donna here to tell us about, you know, how that all works, how the hair analysis works, you know, how does it compare, if there is such a thing as comparison between, you know, blood testing and how it's different from allergy testing. How intolerance testing is different from allergy testing on kind of a clinical basis. So welcome, Donna. Thank you so much for sharing your time with us all the way from the UK.
No, thank you very much.
Oh, yay. So first of all, a lot of people are wondering, why hair? You know, why are we analyzing hair, and how does that actually work in the lab to check for intolerances?
The wonderful thing about hair is it's actually – we can test more with the hair, and it's easier to test with the hair. It's quicker, it's more cost efficient, so it allows us to test those extra things. A lot of the time, blood tests are limited to probably 30 items, and we're exposed to so many different things on a daily basis that 30 items couldn't possibly begin to cover it. So, I mean, hair testing came along. It's been going for decades, but it's really... it's come a long way in the last few years. And so we use hair testing mostly because of how much you can test and because of how cost effective it is. We can pass those savings on to the clients because you shouldn't have to pay hundreds or thousands of pounds or dollars, as the case may be, for tests, because it's for health, and health is important. It's a basic right. The way we do it with hair is hair stores information, mm-hmm. And everything has an energy pattern. I don't know if you're aware that everything has an energy pattern, and the great thing about hair is all this information is stored in there, and it gives off this energy. Okay? Mm. So what we do is we take the 600 items and we test them individually against the hair sample. If there's any sign of a reaction, it's reported back to us as an intolerance. It's as simple as that.
Wow. Now, is that a machine that energetically responds with some sort of reaction?
That's it, yes. It works, but it's bioresonance, so it kind of works on an electromagnetic basis.
Mm.
And we can essentially put the hair into there, and it will scan it, and it will run it against all the items that we've pre-programmed into it,
mm-hmm.
individually. So, it's more cost efficient for the client because it doesn't take half as long as blood testing does.
Oh, that's amazing. So it's all done through really energy testing. Right. As opposed to, say, chemicals or antibodies or things like that, right?
Yes, exactly. Antibodies, antibodies are for allergies. So if you have an allergic reaction to something, your body will produce antibodies. But that's not the case with intolerances. Intolerances, they're sneaky little things, actually.
Mm-hmm.
They actually don't cause us serious symptoms of allergies. So I'm kind of like diverting here into the difference between allergies and intolerances.
Oh, perfect.
Allergies, they tend to be lifelong, okay, and they tend to be more severe. So typical allergic symptoms would be swelling, rashes, difficulty breathing, and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Intolerances, they're much less severe, and they're so much easier to treat. An intolerance can be things like digestive issues such as bloating or gas or diarrhea. It can also be minor skin conditions such as eczema. It can also make you quite fatigued and give you quite a few headaches and migraines.
And then there's the whole weight gain thing.
Yes, definitely. Weight, if you're eating foods that you are intolerant to, then it's not going to help weight issues whatsoever. We've had quite a few clients who have come back to us after following our elimination diet of all the items in their report, and they've lost like 15 pounds in a month. It's crazy. It's fantastic.
Wow, that's great. Now, so if someone sends you their hair and they make changes in their diet based on what you find on their hair test, how soon can they retest? Because obviously the hair only grows a certain amount per time, and, you know, if your body has changed since then and you're no longer intolerant, how long do they have to wait before they can retest?
We usually recommend 6 to 12 months after their initial test.
Okay.
Just because intolerances can and do change regularly based on diet and lifestyle. We found the most common intolerance is from overconsumption or overexposure.
Mm-hmm. That's so my egg thing.
Yeah, exactly. We found that everyone has different tolerance levels to different items. So if you're eating more than your body can handle, your body will start to reject it, which usually causes symptoms. And so it's basically your body's way of saying, please stop, I've had too much of this. And so we recommend that you eliminate it from your diet for a short period of time. We say minimum of 4 weeks.
Okay, so minimum 4 weeks, and is there like if somebody wanted to be really conservative, how long would they wait? Say, for eggs, for example, if I was like, okay, I'm willing to stop for at least 4 weeks, but I can do longer, how long would you suggest before someone tried to start it again slowly?
Ideally, 3 months.
Okay.
3 months, because there are quite a few items that are hard for the body to detox from, so it just takes a little bit longer. We found that dairies and grains in particular are quite hard to detox from because they're quite heavy on the body.
Oh, interesting. So they take, they may take longer, is what you're saying.
Yes, exactly. So if someone was really committed, we would recommend at least 3 months to fully detox, but you should start to see improvements of your symptoms after 4 weeks.
Okay. And so, for example, in my case, that I was pretty sure I was gluten intolerant, but it didn't show up on the test. Is that because I had not been eating it for, you know, years?
Exactly. If you don't eat the items, your intolerance levels to those items will drop again. So it might be that your gluten intolerance was below the point at which your body would react. So we didn't find that at that present moment your body was currently reacting to it. So it wouldn't have shown on the test.
Okay. Well, and as far as the eggs go, I mean, I stayed off eggs for quite a while. I just started eating them again, and I never really thought of asking my body how often should I eat it. So I did some self-muscle testing finally on this particular question, and my body said 3 times a week. Like, I didn't ask before. I just thought eggs are so good for you. We get pastured, farmered eggs, no GMOs, no, you know, they're all organic. And, yeah, but I ate them 7 days a week. So now I'm down to 3 days a week, and I seem to be tolerating them just fine. So I'm really pleased about that, and that was really useful information.
Yeah. I mean, one of the great things, because I perform my own intolerance tests quite regularly, every 6 to 12 months. And when I first started here, I did an intolerance test on myself, and it came up mangoes. That broke my heart. Mangoes are my absolute favorite fruit. And at first, I was in a bit of denial. I was like, no, it can't possibly be mangoes.
Right, right.
So a couple of months later, I thought, oh, I'm still having these issues. I'm still getting quite bloated. What could it be? So I just ran another one, and there it was again, mangoes. So I gave up mangoes, and I just felt amazing. I still have them occasionally, but I try to limit it, which I suppose it makes me appreciate it more.
Right. That's true, that's true. Well, one of the questions we have from the folks here in the U.S. is that some of our foods are very different here, the way they're made. And so when you do testing with your reagents, are they, first of all, are they organic? And is your gluten, for example, different from our gluten, or your dairy different from our dairy, or your, you know, mold different from our mold?
We haven't found that there's much difference, to be honest. The basic enzymes are still the same, and all of our ingredients that we do test, they don't have the chemicals, because we test the chemicals separately. So,
right.
For example, fruits or grains that are grown in fields, usually if they're not organic, they're sprayed with all kinds of chemicals and rubbish. However, we do test organic. Because
okay.
We want just that fruit or that grain. We don't want the chemicals skewing it. And we test those separately. So it should be able to tell the client whether they're intolerant to a strawberry or whether they're intolerant to the chemicals that get put on strawberries.
Perfect. Now, some of the folks that are trained in the nutrition based on Dr. Weston A. Price's work will say that, for example, somebody might be gluten intolerant, but they're able to fully digest or able to tolerate, say, sprouted grains for, say, real sourdough bread. So does your company test for, like, sprouted grains at all, or, like, heritage of wheat versus modern wheat?
You've got me there, to be honest.
Yeah, it was something that I just thought of, like, just popped into my head. that might be, like, maybe on our wish list.
Yeah, that's definitely something I'll have to look into, to be honest.
Yeah, so they, you know, on the Weston, Dr. Weston Price, Dennis, in the 30s, discovered that a lot of these ancient cultures that are very healthy, when they did eat grains, they were fermented grains or sprouted grains, not the kind of grains we have today commercially available. So the sprouting actually digests the anti-nutrients and make it much more digestible. But I know for some people that even the sprouted doesn't work for them. They're intolerant of that, whereas other people can't do gluten at all, but then when they do sprouted grains, they're fine. The other separate issue is that sometimes I have my patients go, you know, they'll travel to Europe, And I don't know, I mean, maybe it's the absence of RBG hormones or something like that, but they're fine with dairy, even though it's pasteurized in the UK, or they're fine, at least on a limited basis for a few weeks or months, with the bread. But the minute they come back to America, boom, tons of symptoms.
Yeah, but I think that just goes back down to American food, to be honest. We all know that America has such a bad reputation, and a lot of the time it's unfair. But there is a lot of additives in American food that's well known. That obviously it's grown in different ways. I think it's a lot to do with the population size. They have to produce as much as possible.
So right, or the company needs to make as much money as possible, some people would say.
So you've got your stuff like your high fructose corn syrup, which is
right,
pretty much in everything, because it just makes things cheap. So they can produce more for the growing population. I'm not an expert there, but that's what my best guess would be. Food is more processed in America.
Well, I did hear through the grapevine, I don't know how much of it is true, that even wheat that is not genetically modified per se here, at least on a regular basis, that they still use that herbicide glyphosate, I can't remember how to pronounce it, which is in Roundup, which is a toxin. They still soak it with that, even though it's, you know, not, I mean, it's not organic, but it's, you know, maybe they don't do that in the UK, for example. Maybe they don't soak it in that stuff. And so people might be reacting to the wheat here because, even though it's not genetically modified, because it's been soaked, versus in the UK where maybe you don't have that practice. You know, it's a possibility.
Yeah. In the UK, there's actually a growing interest in British-grown, organic, basically straight from field to plate. There's a lot of awareness here in the UK, especially in the last couple of years, about how clean, essentially, your food is, about how pure, essentially. There's a lot of awareness here now, so things are changing.
Yeah, we're a little slow here, although there is quite a few, big, movements and grassroots, the right to grow, the right to know. Vermont was the first state here in America to actually mandate GMO labeling, which comes into effect next year. And, of course, the company Monsanto sued them, trying to scare away the other states from doing the same thing. But there's lots of people here that are trying to gain awareness, and a lot of movie makers, which is really cool. And a lot of times they do, you know, cite other countries, like what they're doing, and we're really quite oblivious sometimes in the U.S. of what other countries are doing and what they've banned, you know. What we think is normal here is not normal everywhere else in the world. So I'm so glad to hear that. I mean, you guys are probably way ahead of us.
Only in some respects.
Well, Donna, the one question that some of my folks had that had the hair analysis was sometimes when they got their results, they had some groupings and they were a little confused about, for example, that says, you know, you're intolerant to, this grouping of meat. Does that mean they're intolerant to each of those meats individually and the whole groupings, or just when all the groupings are together? I know it seems like an obvious answer, but I just want to double check with you.
Yeah, no problem. It's we test the meats individually, and if they come up at the same intolerance level, we report them in a group. They're tested individually, but they're grouped for the report, so it just makes it a bit easier to read. It's not clear.
Okay, I get it now. Right. So why say, you know, this number is high? If they're all high, you might as well just say these are all high all at the same time.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. And for example, if there's olives were tested, the other question was, well, how do I know if it's green olives or black olives or calamal olives?
It will be all olives.
Oh, all olives. Oh.
Yeah. It's unfortunate that we test, for example, we test various different types of tea. We're British, after all.
Right? I have to test tea.
So we tested several different types of tea, and so we tested green tea, your black tea, and things like that. Now, if we also do a one where it's the basic tea leaf.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so if it comes up just tea, it's all tea.
Oh.
But if it comes up green tea or black tea, it's just that tea.
Gotcha. Okay. Yes, that actually clarifies quite a bit. Thank you. And tell us a little bit about the nutrient analysis. I know we're switching gears a little bit from intolerance, but your company actually offers that as part of the package for, in the U.S., it's $115, which is an amazing, amazing price. So how does that, how do you do that?
Well, like I said, the hair stores information, and what we can do is we can tap into that information. Now, we test 80 different nutrients, which is, from my own research, it's phenomenal, the amount that we can test with the hair. And what we do is we just tell you which items you're deficient in. So whether it's your vitamin C or your iron or your iodine, anything, we can tell you if you're deficient in it. So if you need more of it, but if your body needs more of it, we can tell you that.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, what I've done with the test results, because I'm an energy healer and do muscle testing, I can actually, for example, if someone is deficient in selenium, I can ask the body, are you getting enough in your food? A lot of times the answer will be yes, and then I'll say, are you able to fully absorb it from your food? And the answer will be no. And then I can even ask, okay, even if you can absorb it, can you assimilate it? And the answer might be no. So depending on what answers we get, we can decide whether the person needs to eat more of it or whether they actually need to correct an imbalance preventing them from absorbing or assimilating it. From my point of view, it's very helpful to have at least the data there. Otherwise, I'd be testing hundreds and hundreds of nutrients, muscle testing, and it would take forever to do that, just to have it there. And then I can be more specific right after that to figure out those things. And so for some people, they actually, for whatever reason, might need, a supplement on top of their food. Other times they have enough in their food, they're just not digesting it. So then there might be an emotion or some other energetic imbalance that we can release immediately, and then they can change, their bodies will change. And that actually segues into my next question about, just to go back on, when people do their hair analysis, like I have like super, super long hair. So for example, the bottom parts of my hair might have been still, me 6 months ago, and the closer to my scalp part of the hair might be me, a month ago. So if I send you a new sample of hair, do I just send you the most recent part and just cut off like the ends because it's so long, or will you guys know which end to test, or you just test the whole hair, which includes last year's hair? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, what we do is we usually request the root. If you can't get the root, as close to the root as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and what we do is we do test that most recent hair.
Okay.
Once we receive it here, we obviously prepare the hair for testing, and it does, the most recent end of hair gets tested, yes.
Okay, great. So it doesn't matter if I cut off the last bit.
No, not at all.
Okay, and how about people with super short hair or very thin or fine hair? They're really worried that they weren't giving you enough hair. So how many hairs do they actually need to give you?
Well, the standard, if the hair is longer than an inch, we usually ask for 3 or 4 strands. However, if it's shorter than that, we just ask for a few more. So that's usually about 6 or 7 is sufficient. But if you haven't got long hair on your head, because I know a lot of people shave their heads, we can actually test any body hair.
Chest
or leg is fine. We've had quite a few beard hairs. Well, we've had quite a few questionable samples as well, but we usually recommend test hair.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. Maybe we can speak just a little bit about the heavy metal sensitivity testing. You were doing that as a bonus last year for free for the mercury. Is this if someone's toxic of mercury, or is it that they're sensitive or intolerant of mercury? We're not clear on that piece.
It's essentially, like you say, it's a sensitivity test. So it's similar to the intolerance test. We can tell you if your body is reacting to it.
Okay.
Now, the great thing about that is, while we can't actually tell you with the hair how much of that is in your body,
okay.
What we can say is that the more sensitive you are, the more likely, the more easier it is for your body to absorb it.
Mm.
Okay, so if you're sensitive to, say, mercury, we would advise avoiding situations where you would be exposed to mercury because you don't want to have too much mercury in your body.
Ah, I see. So the more sensitive you are, the more you can easily absorb it.
Exactly, and it can also go the other way as well. For example, if, like I said, with the intolerances about overconsumption and overexposure, mm-hmm. if you've been exposed to too much mercury, you'll become sensitive. So it kind of can go both ways.
Mm. Oh, I see. Right. Well, mercury is not good either way. Of course, it's a toxin,
exactly.
No matter how we look at it. But oh, that's really interesting. Okay. So it looks like, you know, the kind of testing that you can obviously people can buy it a la carte. So for folks that are interested in the intolerance testing with the nutrient deficiency test, you can go to www.karenkan.com/ let me make sure I got this right here, intolerance test. So karenkan.com/intolerance test. There's a lot of information written there about how it's done, what you need to do, and once you pay for your intolerance test, you'll come to a page where you can download the form that you can print out and send with your hair samples. And I think, thanks to Donna and her group, they actually also give us a bonus, which is you're able to include up to 5 extra things that you want them to test for you as far as sensitivity. So I had sent several supplements with mine, and actually was quite shocked to find that half of them I was sensitive to and probably shouldn't have been taking. So that's great. So again, it's www.karenkan.com/intolerance test for that information. Oh, this
okay,
has been...
Could I just give you a quick note?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, just for you and your listeners, next month, July, we're actually giving away the free mercury and dental amalgam test again.
Oh, great.
So just a heads up on that one.
Oh, great. We'll send out a newsletter on that.
You know.
Oh, fantastic. Well, thank you, Donna, so much for, spending your time with us and answering my questions. This has been really helpful. Like I said, it was a godsend to find you guys online. People were, like I said, spending, hundreds and thousands of dollars trying to get some answers, and people sometimes just didn't do, the test because it was so expensive, and then we lost the ability to do it all together in New York State. So how fantastic to finally have some answers. And it's really neat that you your company does it through bioenergetics because that's kind of the work that I do, and I totally resonate with it.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure, and thanks everyone for listening in. Until next time, bye for now. Mm-hmm.